Welcome to Are You Serious? This is your host Siri, along with your co-hosts, Daniel, Justin, and Jeff.
Hi, welcome to Are You Serious? In today's episode, we'll be discussing VR. Now, many things happened in 2016 concerning VR, so we're going to do a rundown. First of all, the HTC Vive was released by Valve. What do you guys think of the HTC Vive?
I've heard a lot about it, but I've never tried it on. I think they're one of those companies that try to get ahead when they hear like news about this another big company trying to release its product.
So I like the HTC Vive because it was one of the first VR headsets to include controllers, and it has pretty good graphics and has a good field of view. I'm pretty sure it's 110 degrees to play like games and do everything.
Yeah, that's really cool. However, the Oculus Rift was also updated this year by Facebook, releasing their new controllers for them, which people have stated are better than the HTC Vive ones. What do you think, Jeff?
So, just to be clear, when you say this year, do you mean 2016?
Oh yeah, I mean 2016.
Oh yeah, so last year, actually, I was really excited about the PS4 VR, and they did a really good job.
Oh yeah, we haven't touched that yet.
Integrating the systems with their already existing games and things. And I actually look forward to buying one myself. And I think they have pretty good graphics and field of view, too. So I think VR industry is really growing the past year.
However, while we're talking about PSVR, let's discuss some of the flaws that people have had with it. Now, PSVR released in 2016, yet has been attributed with some negative feedback and some positive feedback. Mainly, some of the negatives are its lack of full big title games that are associated with it. Currently, you have the Batman game, which is one of the larger titles, and that's about it, honestly.
So I've seen a lot of gameplay videos on YouTube about PSVR. One of them was this Star Wars Battlefront VR gameplay. So you would play as X-Wing pilot. And like the whole experience was just completely different from the main game. Because, you know, the main game was first-person shooter. And the VR section just changed completely.
The footage I saw, at least for it, was on PS4 Pro, and that's one of the main reasons why it looks so like visually stunning. I think one of the bigger issues is that you need to purchase a PS4 Pro in order to get a fuller experience.
Well, yeah, so I think Sony is definitely trying to sell their products while integrating VR into their product line. So they're definitely doing a great job making everything work, or like make them look like they work really well if you buy them all. But there definitely are a lot of problems if you are just an ordinary consumer and you don't have a lot of money at hand.
Yeah, definitely considering that although this is the cheapest of VRs, it's also considered one of the lowest scales of professional VRs. Among the top two, Oculus Rift and Vive, it's really lacking some stunning features. But then also knowing Sony's past, for example, like the PS Vita, since this product wasn't initially received with such popularity, it's suspected that Sony will have a lack of back-end support for something that ends up not doing as well.
Wait, so the PS4 VR, is that the cheapest one?
Yes, currently on the market, it's the cheapest of all the well-made VR.
So the PSVR has been a really weird spot. So VR has been in a pretty weird spot recently, and I think definitely big companies like Sony needs to put more effort into making the VR a better experience. I'm thinking about this analogy. Many years ago, people used paper to communicate and display things, but nowadays everyone uses like displays, right? So I'm thinking in the future, people will use VR more and more and use that as the main form of visual display. And right now, it's hard to see that happening because VR is still like new and it needs a lot of growing for it to become like something like display.
Yeah, as we all know, VR does have a lot of potential associated with it, and I think it's up to people like Sony to continue giving it back-end support in order to ensure that VR will become almost the gaming of the future, really, simply because it This is basically the next evolution in visual media, and it's very important that large companies like Sony continue to fund its development in order to ensure that these products continue to come out such high quality.
So I think VR will be really useful in the future, especially like in the gaming world. Like, you can use it for a lot of things, a lot of games.
A lot of changes.
Yeah, that too. And it can like also help like other people, like people, if they need to train in like difficult environments or something, you can also use VR to, so they won't be like physically in the dangerous environments. So, but they can still train for what they're going to do, such as space training or like where you're going to go somewhere. It's just overall just not safe. And it can also be for like disabled people who can't see the full world, like they can't see the world fully. So if they have VR, they could still like explore like quote unquote the world view. So also VR, like this is why I think it's especially important that people continue to buy VR, so like the companies can continually develop them and they can get input from their customers to see how it's doing and what they should do.
So that basically sums up what happened to VR last year, and hopefully this year it will be even better. But let's move on to actual game integration to VR. Now, Jeff, you had an interesting method on how to make big title first-person shooters in VR.
Yeah, so we all know how VRs work and how they are different from your normal displays. With the normal screen, your field of view is limited by how long the screen is and like what your in-game settings are. And by moving your mouse and keyboard or your controller stick, you see your screen moving. And that's how you perceive movement. But in the VR world, you are moving just simply by physically moving. And that's how it creates the realism. So it's fundamentally different from how the displays work on computers. Another way of doing this, especially with first-person shooters, is that you just keep the screen and the content stationary on VR as well.
But like, wouldn't that remove the whole aspect, like the whole purpose of VR?
Well, not the
just
whole
immerse yourself.
Not the entirety of it.
Wait, so are you like saying, so like computer, you're like the character and gun stay still. So are you saying that in VR you want the character moved, everything the character move, and the gun to move?
Well, right now, it's exactly what you described. The character and the guns both move, and you move around and you shoot, and everything is moving. I mean, that's realistic. But for like big titles like Call of Duty, like where people have to rely on their accuracy a lot, that might be really hard to actually integrate into a multiplayer or something.
But wouldn't
like
that generate a better experience, though? Because Call of Duty, at least previously, used to be all about realism. Wouldn't that bring realism back, I guess, into the mix?
Well, so for me, gaming really has two different aspects. It could be entertaining, and it also could be competitive and just really about the game and like winning against others. So back to this VR thing. So if we can imagine really advanced display that's like a ball shape and you see everything that you would normally see in the real world because your field of view in the real world is like a ball. So like if you see this spherical display, it'll show like everything in front of you and behind you and everything is displayed around. That's basically what VR is doing, but you simply put on a headset.
But you're saying instead to have the crosshair always in the middle and your gun always on your screen, and when you look around you can tell when to shoot instead of actually having to raise some form of controller?
Yes, so you actually still move your actual field of view by moving your sticks or your mouse and keyboard, but your field of, like, your vision is actually so perfect that it fits exactly into your what you see. Because, you know, our eyes don't see a rectangle. I mean, that's what every display is in the shape of. But
that's why they're making curved screens now, right?
Yeah, so our real vision is actually this really irregular, like, we can't even really determine what shape it is. So what we can do is we give you so much content that you can see only part of it. And that way you can make sure that all you see is the content. And that's how you ensure that you get the full experience. If I look at a screen, I will see like the wall behind it. And that's when I know this is not real. But if all I see is the game and I don't see where the game ends, then I can pretty much say that's a really realistic experience.
So would your like crosshair in VR, would it be wherever like your gun or object in your hand is pointing, or would the crosshair just move around the screen, I guess?
No, I think Jeff is trying to say that when he's looking across the screen, he and his gun looking in the same place. However, I feel like that makes VR kind of boring and almost a headache, honestly, because you have to turn your head 360 degrees just to turn around. And honestly, without the actual gunplay of a control, I feel like a lot of aspects of VR removed, rendered obsolete compared to its full potential.
Well, just like currently in games, you have different control schemes. This could be one of many control schemes for VR games. So you can actually have this and the standard mode where you like move your gun around and everything.
Wait, but in this mode, are you using like a regular controller or like a VR controller?
Well, you
or
could
maybe
use
a keyboard
both.
And mouse.
I wouldn't know how it would work better, because this is really up to the gaming industry, because they know what's best for the games and they know how to determine which instrument is better for input. But I would think using a controller with the VR is a very like. It's up to standard for a competitive match. And right now, I'm very excited to see VR going into the competitive realm and like people actually playing professional matches using VR. Because right now, it's really just an entertainment.
So basically, almost what you're saying is that different controller schemes almost lies to the point of cross-platform. Another issue, or not an issue, but just an idea we face concerning VR. Now, not only, there are a lot of benefits, but also a lot of issues when it comes to cross-platform VR play. Some of the issues, main issues being servers and how...
So, console gaming and PC gaming, they're both two different things. Pretty much, like, let's get two different games such as Overwatch. Like, there's Overwatch for Xbox One, and there's also Overwatch for PC. However, if console players and PC players would play together, pretty much the PC players would destroy the console players because mouse and keyboard is just so much easier to use than controller for the console. So would you put in a whole different section such as like VR gaming? Because the gaming experience would be different, but also it might be easier or harder in some aspects, which you wouldn't know. So the problem with that is that maybe VR would not be able to play the games that you want to, or if it does, then it's put in a whole different section.
Well, I don't see why they can't just add a different server just for VR multiplayer, because that's what they're doing for PC and console currently. And even just PS4 and Xbox One have like separate like networks. That they have completely different servers. And of course, the players don't play together.
Well, yeah, we understand that, but we're trying to find a way that maybe we can integrate both styles of play into the mix, because that is always a possibility when it comes to, you know, cross-platform play. One of the biggest benefits that comes with cross-platform play is it will probably allow a lot of larger titles to expand to VR. Because let's think about it. If a lot of PC or console, you know, titles had the ability to expand on such a innovative, you know, market and idea, they probably would, especially if there was cross-platform play. I think that this would encourage a lot of big companies to go ahead and try VR for themselves, maybe release their own VR titles, who knows?
Really, I think VR and normal gaming should become two different sports completely. So it's like having tennis and squash in the same court and you're trying to make it work together, but it just doesn't because they're not the same sport. And they might look similar in this way or that way. They fundamentally like can't work together.
Also, like kind of like what we discussed in the last episode, we discussed how sometimes a lot of innovative change is needed and needs to be forced or at least encouraged to the consumer in order to generate these evolutionary leaps in technology. And I guess one way we could possibly do that is through this method of trying to implement more VR and bigger titles, maybe through cross-platforming, maybe through consumer encouragement. who really knows?
Yeah, so I have this interesting idea. So for gaming, a lot of times companies don't have to figure out what to do next themselves. They can actually look at what their professional players are doing and like see the trend and see what they wish they have in the products. So an example would be like in the old days with Halo tournaments, a lot of professional players used this claw grip so that they could hit all the buttons and leave their thumb on the joystick at the same time, so they would gain maximum control.
Well, isn't that considered cheating? Was that sort of rig set up so that you can do that?
I mean, it's not really cheating because you're not changing anything about the controller. You're only just really making your hand awkward and put them in an awkward spot. But like, they really worked out and everyone was basically using that. So later, this company discovered this and they decided that they would add the paddles on the back that would replace the buttons. And that's how we know like SCUF controllers. So currently, if you watch some sort of videos of gamers that are like somewhat professional, they always have more than one screen. They always have it set up like on a whole big table, like goes all the way to their back. Sometimes they have like vertically, they have several screens too. That's just really to increase their field of view because they're limited to just one display. So the next step, if we follow the logic here, it would be some sort of device that can give you the maximum field of view. And what's better than a 360 degree, like a completely like proof screen that goes around that you can look wherever you want and you can still see the content.
Would this mean, like, because we have this new VR, which is the best way, would this mean we get rid of all the other ways, or will we still have those?
Well, this is interesting because displays have been around for a long time, but what did people use before displays? Well, I'd say
papers,
yeah. But do we still use paper? Yeah, we still do. So it's really hard to eliminate a form of like visual display, I guess, completely, because they always have something that the other can't offer.
Are you saying that we're trying to make VR the most dominant like way? I guess.
I mean, I guess you could say the most advanced and the most like hip. But you know, for displays, they have their benefits that VR can't share. Like how a lot of people can look at the same screen at the same time, but they can't all use the same VR.
So, moving on to our next topic, we'll be talking about how VR companies could possibly work together in the future to make like a better VR headset. Justin, what do you think about this?
Okay, well, I think that if they combine together, at least some of them do, in a combined effort, we could possibly form some better method to creating VR. However, something important to consider is that competition is needed to ensure product quality and that how that is essential to improving, you know, a market. But what do you think, Jeff?
I think competition could also make things, like, bad as well. So if a group of people are racing to do something, but it's really hard that they haven't achieved yet, then whoever's going to be first is going to take the cake. So everyone's going to try to find the easiest path to success. So the product that they end up could be this really low quality, barely functioning thing.
I don't really have a definitive standpoint on this, but if there was no competition between all the VR competitors, one major drawback I would see to this would be the pricing. Because in order to get the consumers to buy the products, the companies, they price them at the best price possible, which results in lower and lower costs. And
well,
they figure out...
be a monopoly, that's for sure.
Yeah, this pretty much you're creating a monopoly quote-unquote, not like that huge, but you're still creating, like, kind of a monopoly.
Well, if
like,
we're creating a monopoly, it takes, like, a really long time to finish, because I've tried to play Monopoly, and it takes a while to finish.
You're stupid.
However, even though it would kind of limit competition, which is kind of a bad thing, I feel like if done in smaller doses, we could see some major improvements to the VR industry and just VR in general. Because think about it, if we have some of the greatest companies responsible for some of the greatest VRs team up together, we could come up with almost a brand new way to experience it. So, like, also, while we're on this topic, let's talk about some different ways that we could possibly use VR. Now, right now, VR comes in basically two forms. One where you're using, like, keyboard and mouse, but you're looking around using it, using the VR headset. And others where you're using VR controllers and actually moving the arms of the person you're using. However, do you think there's any other way that we could possibly integrate a better form to control?
Yeah, so definitely. The word VR is virtual reality. It doesn't specify how you get into that reality. Right now, people think that your eyes are the top priority, so it takes over to little peepholes on your face. But you have your ears too, so there could be an improvement on surround sound that makes the sound match what you see really perfectly. And I think if you can nail the vision and the sound at the same time, that would be a great leap into the future. But another thing is, if we're really thinking deep into the future, there could be a sort of device that just plugs straight into your nervous system and takes over all your five senses. Like vision and hearing, that's just the basic. You can change the smell or even the touch that you get from touching everything. So if we're at that point, the virtual reality would be no different from a reality, and there could be so many things in that kind of setting.
But even if I was in that future and that was possible, I wouldn't do it because if you're implanting it in your nervous system, I think that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I could see the possible downsides of that because it would be so controversial to actually implement such powerful technology inside an actual part of your body. Right now, even human tech and replacement limbs being infused with tech is already an extremely controversial subject. Now, in my mind, I was thinking along the lines of almost not a full body suit, but almost kind of a sensor-laced wire that kind of goes along you, almost maybe some sort of one-piece clothing that would allow you to control almost every aspect of your body inside this virtual reality. I think this should be possible.
Yeah, actually, virtual reality has been a thing since the 80s.
Well, yeah.
And back then, there was a lot more controls in terms of your body. So you could be wearing a lot of rings around your wrists and your waist and even the platform that you're standing on. It could be a sphere so that you can walk forever in any direction and it would detect that movement. But right now, I think I don't understand why things are going backwards, kind of. Yeah, so now if we think outside of the box, VR doesn't have to be an entertainment. It could be used for other things as well, killing people. So in the military, you could have robots that are controlled completely by soldiers in VR. That would be a very realistic experience for the soldiers, but they're not looking for fun. They're trying to do things that they normally can't do with their human bodies. Or space exploration.
Right,
I haven't even
explored that concept yet because VR even nowadays is used for manufacturing or simulation of surgeries, etc. And it can be extremely helpful to those aspects.
I think that's actually a really interesting point, especially about what Jeff said about the military. Because humans only have such limited capabilities, what we can do with our bodies. If we were to have VR controlled robots by the soldiers, we could go on missions and everything else with a higher rate of success and not a lot of deaths, which is I think is better.
Yeah, it could simulate possible military operations that would calculate numerous outcomes for certain situations that could possibly save the lives of many American lives. I mean, the aspects of VR are endless. However,
we can take over the world.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Merca.
Yeah, but I actually don't think this technology is too far in the future, because you see, we already have drones
that were Daniel the smart here.
Right. So we already have drones that are used by the military and robots, and we just came up with this new idea. Well, relatively new idea of VR, and if we were to combine those two, we could possibly create some kind of prototype or some kind of robot that could be controlled by soldiers and used on missions.
In order to actually accomplish this goal, I think greater improvements in technology are needed, which is possibly attributed to newer forms of controlling. So right now, some of the controllers we have include like stick controllers, like the PSVR, HTC Vive, and the new Oculus Rift ones. I feel like these need to be expanded so that we have greater control of what we do in VR in order to fully utilize its capabilities.
I mean, for a start, they could add something like a treadmill that allows you to walk for an infinite distance. Because right now, you're pretty much limited in this box, this imaginary box.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, so right now, VR works only in a certain, defined area.
Yes.
And you can only move inside that area. If mm-hmm. you get out of there, the detection would not work. So a lot of games are limited by this. But if you could have a treadmill, and it could sense that you're walking somewhere, but actually you don't move in your room, you wouldn't hit the wall or anything, but you could be walking for 3 hours.
So you're saying you'd be walking on a treadmill, but in your VR, it'd look like you're walking outside or something?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, to end this episode of Are You Serious, we'll be interviewing a couple people about VR and see what their thoughts are on it.
Okay, so what's your name?
Sejun Park.
Okay, so today we're going to be interviewing you about VR. Have you ever experienced VR before?
Yes, I have once.
When?
In Korea, last summer.
What did you do in it?
It was like a horse race.
Oh, cool. Well, what are your thoughts on VR's potential in improving our society?
Well, I think it's the potential, especially for disabled people, because it allows them to move freely in their society of their own creation, or maybe a creation made by someone else, but equally, it's like a better psychology for them. It's like a better opportunity for them. That's what I think.
And lastly, if you could do anything in VR, if you could experience anything in VR, what would it be?
Doing homework? I'm done.
Okay, so first, could you state your name?
Sure. Mr. Shapiro, Matt Shapiro. EA teacher.
Have you experienced, do you know what VR is first?
Yeah, actually, Ms. Fiambulis had this cardboard VR. It was it was called a Google Box or something like that. I think it's $25.
Yeah, Google Cardboard.
Yeah. And then you strapped it to your head. It had the lenses in there, and then you could get different apps on your phone. So it was pretty awesome. I saw the New York Times one. They had a vacation spot or something like that where you could. I think it was Miami. And it was incredible. You could kind of look up and down and look around and see the hotel. I had a dinosaur one, I think, which just had some dinosaur animations.
Oh, were you in it?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think so. I think it was obviously computer-generated dinosaurs, but you're just kind of looking at the dinosaurs. I think you might have been in it or looking at the dinosaurs or something that. And then there was a couple others. But yeah, that was it. I just did that. But it got kind of old because there was really nothing more than just kind of putting it on your head and looking at these things. And they're probably their apps and stuff, but
yeah.
I actually have it upstairs if you guys want to see it at some point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool. So what are your thoughts on the VR's potential?
It seems huge. I was thinking about, I think about investment stuff sometimes, and one of the big things I was like, should I invest in VR? And then I actually have some investments in Facebook, and you guys talked about that. I don't know.
Yeah, but Facebook has a VR.
Oculus Rift, I think, is what they have. They so it. I was like, oh, I'm actually invested in VR because Facebook invested in it. But I think the potential it's huge, especially for video games.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds awesome. I have a PS4, and I was like, should I get the PlayStation VR thing? And I decided to wait because it was expensive and it seems like they don't have games for it. But for gaming, it just seems incredible, and I don't see how it's not going to be better and better. For TV viewing, I think it's a little bit more awkward if you're watching a football game or something like that, and everybody has to get VR headsets on. It's going to take away from your experience. But at the same time, what better way to experience the game than get on these goggles? You could have like 50-yard line seats, right? If they can get good VR cameras and stuff like that. But yeah, and then you guys want to talk about education too, right? Mm-hmm.
So, like, for education, you can use like VR for many things. But as an educator, how do you think you could utilize VR in your profession?
Yeah, I was mentioning this to you guys a little bit before, but for science, there just seems to be so many different applications because of so much of what you teach in science is things that you can't see. So you're in my class, so, you know, we do animation sometimes. Like, we saw the cell animation and that protein walking along, that cytoskeleton, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you could put on VR glasses and, like, boom, you're in the cell. You're looking around. You're seeing proteins walking with the cytoskeleton. You're looking down the nucleus. You're seeing mRNA run around the cell giving messages to the ribosome. You see protein production. Like, that sounds amazing. Even other stuff, like when we talk about anatomy, like let's take a trip through a blood vessel. Let's go from the heart and back again, and then we'll go through capillaries or we're a red blood cell or something like that. Like, that sounds awesome. And then for chemistry too, let's go take a look around the atom. We could see how small the nucleus is compared to the rest of the atom. I mean, I use analogies a lot. The nucleus is the size of a dime. The entire atom would be the size of a stadium, which is like okay. But if you could actually be in the nucleus, look out at the electron cloud, what a different experience and what a more meaningful or more immersive experience that would be. It just seems like there's just so many good applications for science education.
So last question.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do anything in virtual reality, what would it be?
Ooh, good question. I guess it would have to be a place and time that is just impossible for me to go to. So history sounds pretty cool. Like, I could go see the signing of the Declaration of Independence, but I guess it would be kind of lame because it would probably just be actors portraying it, so maybe that wouldn't be all that good. It just seems like vacation spots that you couldn't otherwise go to would be pretty awesome, like remote parts of the world that are super hard to get to, but you could get really, people could take awesome video of it, you could do it through VR and kind of live it through VR, and then awesome video games. I don't know exactly what those be, but there's just so many fun games I could imagine you having this crazy immersive experience with VR.
Yeah, cool. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I mean, I guess along those lines, too, the educational component to it, too. I never thought about it before you guys mentioned it, but it sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
And you have to think about expense. It would be super expensive for everybody to get VR goggles.
True.
And then you lose a little bit of control of your class if everybody's got VR goggles going on. But that kind of stuff is happening now, more and more as you guys have computers and all that stuff. But, yeah, I like the idea of VR in education. Is there anything is there any VR in education happening now? Did you guys come across any people that are using it in their classes?
We haven't done research particularly in that area yet, but we're going to look into
it. Cool. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now the cost might be prohibitive, especially for most schools in the country. But maybe someone's doing some cool stuff with it, or maybe it's on the horizon.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for the interview.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. A special thanks to NCS for the music. If you would like to listen to more, head over to our iTunes podcast page, which will be updated for more episodes. See you next time.